The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 9 through 19, and then chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and 7 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And I said, "I see an almond branch." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Now chapter 20, verses 1 through 2 and verses 7 through 9. Now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're back in the first chapter again this Sunday, and in the 20th chapter. We started last Sunday in Jeremiah, the first chapter. It's fitting we've come to Jeremiah at the end of October, because the end of October and the 1st of November is a time when we celebrate the Reformation. This is traditional. Last Sunday in October is Reformation Sunday, and today is Reformation Sunday, but we sort of like this. It's like celebrating Christmas all through the Christmas season. We turn Reformation, the celebration of the Reformation, into a season, and we start talking about it the third Sunday in October, and the last Sunday in October, the first Sunday in November. In fact, next Sunday, we will celebrate, as you heard, our fourth anniversary as a church. And we like the idea that God called us and convened us as a church during the time when we celebrate the Reformation. And I think it's good that we've come to that at this time of year, or this time when we are in Jeremiah, because we have focused on the Word of God. You can't talk about, or you can't study Jeremiah without seeing his focus, his dogged determination to be riveted to the Word of God and our forefathers in the faith. One of the battle cries of the Reformation was sola scriptura. In fact, it was the first battle cry, sola scriptura, scripture alone. And every Sunday, I want to preach, I want to teach, I want the Holy Spirit to do the teaching. I want the Father himself, through the power of the Spirit, to teach us in such a way that when you leave here, no matter what your age is, you can walk out the door and say, you know what? I could tell you what the first chapter of Jeremiah is, or I could tell you what this scripture is about. That's my goal every Sunday, that you would be able to understand what was taught from the pulpit. Jeremiah was a man of the book, and we want to be a church of the book. So we'll come back now to that first chapter of Jeremiah. We pray that if you're visiting, that the Lord will bless you. You may not have heard what came before. You may not hear what comes next. We hope you come back, because we'll talk about this again next Sunday. But I pray that when you leave here, you'll know something about Jeremiah that you didn't know before. Jeremiah, a man with a message that no one wanted to hear. 3 months ago, on the last Sunday in July, we heard God call Isaiah to be a prophet to Judah. In that call, he told Isaiah that throughout his ministry, he would deliver a message that would be a malediction to Judah. A malediction is the opposite of a benediction. A benediction is a good saying. Bene is a good saying. A saying that's a blessing. A malediction is male, a bad saying, delivering condemnation and curses. So God said Isaiah would prophesy a malediction all of his ministry for 60 years. About 50 years passed between Isaiah's death and the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry. Last week, we saw and heard God speak into Jeremiah's life, calling him to be a prophet to Judah. So what was the message that God called Jeremiah to take to Judah? What was his message? We did not talk about the content of Jeremiah's message last week. We focused on God speaking his word into Jeremiah's world and speaking his word into our world. God has spoken. But let's go back to that first chapter of Jeremiah now and hear the message that he gave. Hear the content of the message that God gave to Jeremiah. First, I want you to see that God gave Jeremiah a message of immediate destruction and disaster. Look at verse 13. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I'm calling all of the tribes of the kingdoms of the north declares the Lord. And they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all of its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. God gave Jeremiah a vision of a massive boiling pot. It was facing south toward Judah, away from the north. The vast boiling pot would pour out over all of Judah, over all of its cities, over Jerusalem. Now, Isaiah, in his day, had seen Assyria conquer the 10 northern tribes of Israel. We've talked about that. They had already been carried away into exile, into Syria. But in that time, the balance of power had changed. Assyria had been conquered by Babylon. Babylon had not only conquered Assyria, but several nations around Syria, several kings. And so God was bringing what was left of the armies of Assyria and the thrones, the kings of those other kingdoms that Babylon had conquered, and Nebuchadnezzar and his army, and he was bringing them all together to the gates of Jerusalem. They would set their thrones. It said they would set their thrones. All these kings would be present, warring against Jerusalem, war against all the cities of Judah. The message of Jeremiah was that Judah's going to die. Judah's going to be conquered. Judah's going to be wiped out. Now, how was that different from the message God gave to Isaiah? Because Isaiah talked about God's judgment coming to Judah. And you're saying, well, we've heard a lot about judgment. Maybe we can just skip this part. We've already heard it. No, there was a great difference between Isaiah and Jeremiah in the times, in the country to which they preached. First, Isaiah prophesied. What were those differences? Isaiah prophesied what would happen to Judah 60 or 70 years later. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was prophesying what he and the rest of Judah would see with their very own eyes in their lifetimes. Isaiah was speaking to a future generation, what they would experience. Jeremiah was speaking to the present generation. You will see that because of that, you know, it's a difference between talking about something that's going to happen in the future and actually living through that. You'll see, as you read Jeremiah's message. By the way, let me stop right here for a second. I forgot to tell you something at the beginning. This week, I decided that I wanted to read through. Now, I've done this many, many times. And of course, I've been studying Jeremiah now for this. But I said, I'm just going to sit down and read through the book of Jeremiah. And I've told you, there's a real difference between Jeremiah and Isaiah in several ways. Sometimes Isaiah is hard to understand. Jeremiah is not hard to understand. No matter what your age is, you can read Jeremiah and understand it. You may not like it, but you can understand what he's saying. And it profoundly affected me. Read the first 28 chapters. It's painful. I'm asking you to do that. It profoundly affected me, and I've read it. But it has just been a canopy over me this entire week, because it's like reading the morning paper. It's about reading what is happening in our country right now. And I would urge you, I would please ask you, make it your devotional this week, during your devotional time. If you don't have a devotional time, you know, sit down and say, I'm going to take 2 or 3 hours, and I'm just going to read the book of Jeremiah. Now, You'll see if you do that, that Jeremiah's language is very, very intense. Why? Because he is seeing it. He saw those armies arrive in Jerusalem. He was preaching about a disaster that he and his congregation and his country would live through. Another difference is between Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah prophesied during the reign of three really good kings and one bad king. Jeremiah, on the other hand, he would prophesy and preach during the reign of only one good king and four really evil kings. Therefore, he would experience much more intense opposition than Isaiah. Thirdly, and this is the most important, here's the difference. The culture of Jeremiah's day had sunk even deeper into the physical debauchery and the spiritual apostasy than the culture of Isaiah's day. Now listen to this, because there's a spiritual principle at work here, a biblical truth that must be noted. It has to do with the nature of sin. Sin is aggressive. Sin grows. If sin is not checked in our lives by the Word of God, if it's not checked by repentance, if it's not checked by coming to God, sin will take over a life. It's aggressive. Now, we could spend the next hour just turning through Scripture and seeing the aggression of sin over and over. Remember, he said to Cain, "Cain, sin crouches at your door and wants to destroy you." Read it in Genesis. But I want you to look at Romans 1, 28 to 32. Notice how it begins. "And since they did not," we're talking about the aggression of sin, "since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." And what comes next is a life being taken over by aggressive sin. "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." Who are these people? They're people that have been possessed by sin. "And though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give hearty approval to those who practice them." Paul here is describing what happens when sin metastasizes in a culture. He says, here's what the culture will look like when sin metastasizes. Paul here is speaking of the oncology of sin. Oncology is the study of tumors, the study of cancer. And just as it is the nature of tumors and the nature of cancer to grow, it is the nature of sin to grow. And if sin is unchecked by repentance and a turning to God, sin will grow in the individual, whether it's an individual's life, whether it's in a family. You've seen this in families. Or whether it's in a city or a nation or an entire culture, it will completely fill that culture. This is what we're seeing today here. And God, he says, "I'll turn them over to their sins." Look at that. "And gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." God will turn them over to their sins, and their sins will metastasize. And you'll see it all through the culture. It will be unstoppable. That's what had happened to Judah. Why did God send Jeremiah 60 years later after Isaiah? Had not Isaiah already prophesied about Judah's sin and the coming destruction? Yes. But God sent another prophet because the sin of Judah had metastasized enormously. He exposed once more the extent of their sin. You know, we often say something like this when looking at the gross sin of our culture. You've said it, I've said it. We say, what would my parents say about this? What would my dad say about this? What would my grandfather and grandmother say about what we're seeing? What would they say about the anti-God, anti-God's word, anti-Jesus Christ attitude that's pervasive in our culture? What would they say about the debauchery and perversion that is displayed on our 75-inch screens in our homes every evening? They would be incredulous. They would say, what has happened? What is this? They would have an emotional intensity that we don't have. Why? Because we have become accustomed. We're like the frog being boiled. We've become accustomed to the increased debauchery. We're just accustomed to it. Isaiah would have been astonished at what had taken place in Judah in the intervening 60 or 70 years. The wickedness of Jeremiah's days was the wickedness of Isaiah's day on steroids. God gave Jeremiah a message of immediate destruction and disaster. God would put up with it no longer. It was done. Judah had run its course. Sin had run its course. Secondly, so first, God gave Jeremiah a message of immediate destruction and disaster. Secondly, God gave Jeremiah a message that he knew would be detested by the culture of Judah. God gave Jeremiah a message that he knew would be detested by the culture of Judah. Look at verse 17. But you, Jeremiah, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day, Jeremiah, a fortified city. I make you an iron pillar. I make you a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, its people. And they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. So what does he say here? This is so understandable. It's so plain. He says in verse 17, Jeremiah, dress yourself for work. Now, many of us have jobs that demand a certain way of dressing. If you're a bank executive or you work in the investment area, your clothing must look like you can be trusted with other people's money. You don't go to work in shorts and a t-shirt. If you're a teacher, you want an image that will demand respect from your students. If you're in the military, you have dress uniforms, you have combat uniforms. So what did God mean when he told Jeremiah, dress yourself for work? He was saying, Jeremiah, put on the robe of the prophet and get busy being a prophet that I've called you to be. Now, prophets wore special robes. And when people saw those robes, they said, that man's a prophet. Remember, Elijah had a robe. Remember when the Lord took him to glory, the robe fell to Elisha. Elisha put on the robe of Elijah. He's a prophet. And God says, Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet. Get your robe. Get dressed. Delivering God's message, he said, will be a fearsome thing. Why would he be afraid to speak God's message? Why would God need to rescue him from the congregation to whom he's preaching? Why would the kings of Judah, its officials and ministers and people, fight against Jeremiah? He's the preacher. Because Jeremiah came to tell them of their sin their materialism, their greed, their vain idols, their sexual immorality, their sexual perversity. He came to preach about their taking their infants. Instead of baptizing and anointing them, they were offering them in sacrifice, in the fire, a sacrificial fire to the god Moloch. They would be upset because Jeremiah came to tell them that God was at war with them, the God they thought, that's our God. He said, he's at war with you, and you're at war with him. Jeremiah came to tell them that the famine and droughts and wars that they had been experiencing, they all came from God. God sent those droughts. God sent that starvation. God sent the plagues. Judah, you're at war with God. They didn't want to hear that. And Jeremiah, I mean, not just that. Jeremiah said, God's going to bring a foreign power that you hate, a pagan foreign power. He's going to bring a pagan foreign power to overrun the country. Now, think about it. What if I told you to tell the congregation to which you belong and the country to which you are a citizen, tell them that they're morally repugnant to God? And what made them repulsive to God was the way they lived. And that God was at war with them because of the way they lived. And that God was just going to send a completely pagan, godless country to overrun our country. If you went with that message, do you think they would ask you to come home and have Sunday dinner with them? You think they would say, oh, we loved your message. Thank you. You must come next week because we want to bring our children so that they can hear what you think of us. What if you had to go to Washington and preach a message that said, America is a stench to God, a moral sewer because of her materialism, her sexual immorality, her sexual perversity, the killing of millions of babies in the womb, because America is proud of her sin, because America trusts in sin and does not trust in God. What if we went to Washington and said, God's at war with you. You don't have to worry about Russia and China. You better worry about God. You will be destroyed. We're going to get conquered by somebody. We're going to end up poor, being somebody's slaves. Do you think you would, if you went with that message, do you think you would be voted the nation's most admired minister? The nation's most revered religious leader? That was the exact calling that God gave Jeremiah. That's what it says there in the first chapter. It's not my interpretation. It's not, I don't have to twist it. You've read it. You can see it. Now, stop right here. Please, please don't try to mediate the message of Jeremiah. Don't try to make it mellow by saying, well, we're a New Testament. We go to Jesus and the Gospels. You'll hear that in some places. I hope no one in this place says that. Because if you do that, the only thing you do is show your complete, complete ignorance of God and his word. I could spend the rest of the day reading to you, into the night, reading to you the words of Jesus that sound like Jeremiah. Listen to Matthew 10. These are the words of Jesus. You want to flee to Jesus? Oh, that's the gospel. We don't want to hear about Jeremiah. Listen to Jesus. Behold, this is what he said to Peter, John, men, disciples that he loved. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves to be wise. So be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear before them and the Gentiles. Know this. that the Son of God, who became flesh, the Son of God, was there with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in glory when God called Jeremiah and gave him this message. Don't try to mediate it. So God gave Jeremiah a message of immediate destruction and disaster. God gave Jeremiah a message he knew would be detested by Judah. Finally, the ungodly, I want us to see the ungodly culture of Judah tried to intimidate and silence Jeremiah with his message. Look at Jeremiah 20, verses 1 and 2. Now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was the chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah the prophet, laid his back open, and put him in stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. Notice that even the church tried to silence Jeremiah. Jeremiah, by the way, was not only a prophet, he was a priest. He was born into a priestly family. His father was a well-known priest named Hilkiah. Yet it was Pashur, the chief officer of the house of the Lord, that tried to intimidate and silence Jeremiah. He beat him, laid his back on, put him in stocks, publicly humiliated him. Jeremiah, another time, was arrested and thrown into a dungeon. We read in another place that the men of Anathoth, his hometown, plotted to kill him. We read in another place that they didn't have a dungeon to throw him into. Jerusalem was conquered, and so they let him down into a cistern, into a well to imprison him. He just sunk down into the mud. All of that. Be quiet, Jeremiah. We don't want to hear it. And all through the book, we see Jeremiah's vulnerability. We see his hurt, sometimes anger. We see his different responses. He's so human, very responses to this constant hostility. So how did he respond to these stocks of Pashur? Look at verse 9. He gets out of the stocks and he goes home. He said, if I say I will not mention him, I'll not mention God or speak any more his name, if I say that, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Now think about this. The Lord would not let him be silent. When he was beaten, when his back was laid open, when he's put in stocks, I'm going home and I'm not going to say any more about it. And what would God do? God would fill his heart with the Holy Spirit. He would fill his heart with the Word of God. And this man passionately, passionately loved Judah. And he was going to preach God's Word to Judah. He couldn't be silent. God would not let him. In the end, when Jerusalem is burned to the ground, when all the cities of Judah are destroyed, now I don't mean just bombed out. I mean there wasn't anyone left. No one was left. You went to a local town, you went to Jerusalem, you couldn't find, there wasn't anyone in Jerusalem. It was burned down. It's rubble. You go to any city of Judah, no one was home. No one was there. Wiped out. They had been carried off to exile or fled. Well, most of them were in Babylon. But there were some rebellious ones that said, we're not going to submit to Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going down to Babylon. We're going down to Egypt. We're going to live down there. And Jeremiah went with them. And he preached to them the whole way. He said, you're making a mistake. You're sinning against God. Go to Babylon and submit to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, we're not going to do that. He said, do you realize that Nebuchadnezzar, because of you, is going to come and conquer Egypt just to get at you? Because God said, I'm going to judge you. And so Jeremiah went down and preached to them. He had had enough. Pharaoh. Tradition says that's when he was martyred. They had had enough, and they killed him. But he was faithful to the end. So what do we do with this? What do we do with it? We know, we can say that following Christ will be more challenging and difficult in our, as our culture sinks further into degradation, debauchery, and unbelief. It's not easy to go to any of our universities today. Charlie, going to Mississippi State. Now I know some of you think that Mississippi State is a godly, wonderful Christian university. There is no university in this country, no state university, that you can define that way. Charlie, it's going to be difficult for Charlie. We need to pray for Charlie. It's going to be difficult. Very difficult. It's not easy to swim, physically swim, in a river against the current. This week I've been possessed with our culture and the whole story of Jeremiah. Our culture really is similar. You can't get around it. All week long, I've thought about two modern-day prophets who powerfully affected my life. Last night, Bryant mentioned them to me, and he didn't know I was going to say this, but he mentioned these two men, Dr. Francis Schaeffer and a man named Charles Colson, two completely different men from different backgrounds with different vocations, but both spoke to our culture powerfully about the moral and spiritual decay that was destroying our civilization. They sounded in many ways like Jeremiah. In fact, one wrote a book called Death in the City about what was happening in this country. It was about Jeremiah. They wrote books that are even more relevant and powerful today than they were when they wrote them. I learned much from these two men about how to live and how to stand in a godless and secular world. But in my thoughts this week, I was reminded, when thinking about these two men, reminded how far our culture has progressed in its degradation since they lived. Schaeffer died in 1984. It's a long time. Colson only died in 2012. They constantly warn this country of its moral and spiritual decline. And this week I realized how much further we have declined since these two men went home to be with the Lord. You see, they encountered opposition. There were very strong debates. They spoke in Washington to the politicians. They spoke in Wall Street. They spoke at Harvard and Princeton. There were great debates. But there wasn't the hatred. There wasn't the vitriol. Folks, we've crossed a line in our culture. We've crossed a line. It's hard to see when you cross these lines and you can't get back once you cross them. It's hard to see them and hard to realize when you do it. Several weeks ago, we crossed a line in ways that we could see it. A young man cut from the mold of Schaeffer, cut from the mold of Charles Colson, was shot and killed in the very moment that he was giving a biblical answer to a serious moral and spiritual issue. At the very moment. And since that time, to this hour, and to our shame, many in of our culture have rejoiced in his death. Folks, Jeremiah is not whispering in our culture. He is a prophet shouting into 21st century America. We better listen to it.